Got me on there, Corey, now? Sounds great. How you doing? You happy? I'm glad. It's Sunday morning. We're live, right? How many saw the sunrise this morning? It was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. What a picture. For those of you that weren't here yesterday morning we talked about our vision. We had our vision town hall meeting. And so after a number of hours working together, praying together, working and being committed to it and working on the wording, here's the vision statement that we have for us, that we want to love God, love others, serve like Christ, reach the world. That's what we're going to be looking forward to in the future. That's what we're called to be and to become. So that was important. And the reason why it was important for us to do that is because we have to get very intentional about putting together a church profile so that we can find yourselves a new senior pastor. And so it's important for us to find out what that vision is. I mean, we got very close to giving up yesterday. But many of you realized that I was not going to let us go until we were done, because we needed to do it. It's so important for us to get that put together so that we can find the right pastor that has the same vision that we have. That's why we're doing this. So for those of you that were here yesterday, thank you for your time. It was awesome. For those of you that weren't, I encourage you just to stand with us as we start to work towards fulfilling that and being the church that God wants us to be. All right, ready to learn? Let's take your outline. Let's get going. I'm excited about this message because worship is something that's just, I can't sing a lick, but you know what? I love worship. And as I understand what true worship is, my heart just continues to grow. So let's talk about embracing God's pleasure, which is worship. I spent a week last year over the holidays with my mom and my brother and my sister, and I sat in amazement, not just of the young ones taking pleasure in opening up their new dolls, because all of the grandkids that were there were girls, but I watched my mom sit off into the side, the matriarch of our family, taking pleasure, having all of us together for the very first time in a long, long time. If you're a parent, you understand how having children and watching them develop and grow brings happiness to your soul. So what is it that God takes pleasure in? Last weekend, I gave an overview of the purposes of the church. And I believe Scripture says that you and I were created for those things. And if you were here last week, go back on the website. You can pull that down and listen to it. I stated that everything God created was created to bring him pleasure. I use a passage from Revelation chapter 4. It's not in your notes, but John said, "You, God, created everything. And it's for your pleasure that they exist and were created." So my first purpose, your first purpose for living, is to worship God. Romans 12 says in the TEV, "Because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer." You see, you and I, as believers in Jesus, are designed to worship God. In fact, I want to say that every human being was created to worship. For some, they worship a job. For some, they worship a person, a bottle, or a sporting event. What you and I know that they don't know is that they're filling a God-given space in their spirit with a very poor substitute. I saw this happen once when I went to, and don't judge me, to a Reba McEntire concert. I enjoy Reba. She's great. But they put her in this little thing, and then she went over with this cable over top of everybody. And I was off to the side, and all I could see was everybody's hands going up, and they were singing like crazy and going nuts. They were worshiping. Not God, but they were worshiping. And then I saw the other extreme when I was with my son when he was about 12 years old. We went to a Promise Keepers conference over at the Silver Dome, that's just no longer there anymore, in Detroit. The Detroit Lions used to play. And there was about 80 to 85,000 men in this place. And we were there, and we had to wait to go section by section to get lunch because they couldn't feed all 85,000 of us at the same time. So we had to sit and wait our turn. And while we were sitting and waiting, we decided we were going to sing. And so one side started with "Holy, holy, holy." And then the other side went, holy, holy, holy. And we went back and forth and we sang that great hymn. I tell you, that was worship. Worship of the right creator, right? You see, what people don't understand when they don't know Jesus is that they're drawn to this simply because worship is a part of our DNA. God fashioned us to be drawn to exalt him, to magnify him, to use our abilities for him, to express our affection to him. Part of our worship of him is coming together as God's people. Next week, I want to discuss with you why it's so important to adopt God's people, enabling you to deal with life's problems that come your way. A church family helps us focus on God. Why? Since there's some accountability to being God's house. We see each other. We know when we're here and when we're not here. You may come when you don't feel like it. And life tends to get you focused on other issues. Issues like the pressures of life, like money and wealth, health and children and goals and dreams and hurts and self-centeredness. We are invited to join the rest of creation to express love and adoration to God. Now fast forward to Palm Sunday, 13 Sundays from here. Jesus is riding in Jerusalem on a donkey. And people are lining the streets, praising him. And the Pharisees speak out to Jesus and say, they rebuke the disciples. Listen to what Jesus said. In your notes, the Bible says, Jesus said, I tell you, if they, the disciples, keep quiet, the stones will cry out. The first recorded rock concert, just so you know. Talk amongst yourselves. Just talk amongst yourselves. So why do we need a corporate setting to worship in? Why can't we just stay home? I ask that every Sunday morning. Why can't we just stay home? No, I don't. We can step out of ourselves and focus on being a part of a new humanity, a new family. That's why we get together. This new family that has been created for us to be and unified and to praise and to extend the kingdom of God, not only in the world, but also in our hearts. That's why we get together. But let's talk about worship today. Here's the thing I want you to see about today. If you miss anything, don't miss this. You need a power to live on. You need a power to live on. And guess what? I want you to understand that if you have one of these and you have nowhere to plug it in, and your battery is almost dead on your phone, how desperate do you get to plug it in? I mean, we get to the place now where I carry around a pack that already has power ready for it in case there's not something. That we need a power to live on. Each time we get together, we allow the Spirit of God to descend upon us to empower us so that we can go out into the world and be salt and light. How many of you would say that sometimes, from Monday to Friday, you get the life sucked right out of you? Put up your hand. I mean, sometimes just from Monday to Saturday, you're just... How many of you are sitting next to that? Never mind. We won't talk about that. Friend, listen to me. I need to get connected to the power source, which is God. You need to be in God's house with God's people to engage corporately in giving praise to God. When we bless him, he blesses us. But Bob, I don't get much out of worship. I've heard that every year I've been in ministry for 35 years. But here's the problem. Worship is not for you. You don't have a blank for this, but will you write this on your notes? This is crucial. Worship is for an audience of one. Worship is for an audience of one. Worship changed for me when I visualized God at the center of the platform on a throne, receiving our praise, active in exalting him through my voice and my heart and my giving, rather than just sitting as a spectator and waiting for something to happen to me. How can I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to talk about that this morning. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, get ready, we're going to learn about how to tap into this power? Will you turn? Say that. Now turn back and say, you look like you use a little boost. All right, let's look at it. Five things I want you to look at. First of all, you need to plug into him and you need to get connected. You need to be connected to him. The word connected means to bind or fasten together or unite. The next thing I want you to see is choose to connect with him here with others. Strike out B. I put that in there just for those of you that know that's not right. Gives you something to correct. Choose to connect with him here with others. If you and I want to tap into the power, that dynamite power of the Spirit available to us, we have to choose to get connected and plug into the source. When I was walking through the darkest valley of my life, there was one thing I always did. I always chose to get up and go to church every week. It was a non-negotiable for me. In fact, I needed to be in corporate worship so much that I would actually get up on Sunday mornings at 7:30, grab a coffee, get some toast, go back in bed, and be a part of a church that I am connected to in Florida. And I was online with them, encouraging them and worshiping with them, singing like crazy in bed. And after that, I'd get ready and go to my physical church, my church home, to be with my friends. You see, friends, that was the commitment to getting plugged into God and with God's people. You see, Moses and the people of Israel sang this song recorded in the book of Exodus after watching God miraculously deliver them. The Bible says this in Exodus 15, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." You and I may not have walked across a dry riverbed, but certainly we have experienced deliverance from the claws of the enemy of our soul by understanding the work of the cross. Choose to be connected here with others. Look in your notes. Choose to be connected with him to overcome obstacles. When God is on my side, we are majority. Listen to what David said in Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Let me ask you a question. How many times have you come here when you have been overwhelmed by an obstacle or a burden that was either lifted from you, or you were encouraged and filled with just the ability to move forward and move ahead because God ministered to you in the service? There were times when that happened to me all the time. I'd go into church going, "Man, what am I here for? I got so much on." And then when I decided to worship, it was like I got a whole new perspective. Be connected. One, plug into him and be connected. Secondly, let's look at this. Observe him. Be close. Be close. I remember the first or second Sunday at Sturgeon Alliance over in Gibbons, one of our associate pastors, he had four children, and the second youngest one was a little boy. His name was Blaze, and he was just the cutest thing you ever seen. I think he was about, 3 years old, maybe? Well, the first time he saw me, I said, "Good morning, Blaze." He looked me up, and he looked me down. He checked me out to see if I was worth being a friend. How many of you ever had a little child come and check you out like that? Put up your hand. You ever had it? Absolutely, right? David understood. By the way, he was one of the great worshipers of the Lord. If you want to know how to learn how to worship God, read the Psalms. David got it. Look what it says in Psalm 27. It's there on the screen for you. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Do you have that same kind of curiosity as Blaze did about God? Do you have the same kind of desire to search for him like David? One of the most common and most disturbing facts is that most people today, Christians, don't know when they've experienced God's presence. Listen to this research that was done by George Barna. It's in your notes. I didn't want you to miss this. 1/3 of the adults who regularly attend Christian church services say that they have never experienced God's presence at any time during their life. People come to church wanting to personally experience God's presence and to leave with a better understanding of how to live the Christian life. My prayer every Sunday is that you will experience the presence of God and leave this place a different person as a result of being in his presence. In order for you to experience his presence, you need to slow down from your doing and allow God to speak into your being, into your core, into your center. Now, this is not a new problem. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is visiting with two sisters, Mary and Martha. Martha is the doer, and she's making all the arrangements to provide for the meal. Some of you identify with Martha, right? You set the table, you stir the pot of stew, you top up the oil lamps, you make the unleavened bread, and good old Mary is just in the living room sitting with Jesus, laughing and giggling, not having a care in the world. Those of you who are Marthas, you read the story and you cheer when Martha goes into the living room and scolds Jesus for not making Mary help. Listen to the response of Jesus. Listen for the principle of worship. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Corporate worship, friends, helps us to be a Mary. We need to sit and to enjoy and to experience the awe and the wonder of who God is. If you're like me, sitting still and focusing only on him every day in my quiet time when I'm sitting in my thinking chair, it's the hardest discipline that I need to do every day because my mind can already go to 40 different things that I need to be doing. But when I sit and I feed at the feet of Jesus and I'm still and I listen, more often than not, it becomes the most meaningful part of my day. And being together each Sunday, friends, helps you to slow down and to be still. That's why you need to be here. Thirdly, you need to wait before him, and the result will be that you'll be confident. A family was visiting a rural church while they were on vacation one summer, and a six-year-old, full of life and curiosity, wanted to know the significance of all the beautiful stained glass windows which had been placed around the church's memorials. The dad said, these memorials are to the people who died in the service. And the little kid said with innocence, which service, the first service or the second? This point about waiting falls on the heels of what we've just discovered. I'm going to tell you something that you don't want to hear. As I've read the scriptures, I've discovered there's a biblical theme called waiting. How many of you like waiting? No two-handers? No, I appreciate your honesty. I recall one summer afternoon at a men's night on a golf course, we'd no sooner gone out to the hole to listen for the horn to start that it started to rain. Not just a drizzle, it came down in buckets. And we're the furthest away from the pro shop. So we darted to the back a couple of holes and we got into this little shack to huddle. And we waited for what felt like hours for the rain to stop. It was probably about 45 minutes, but it was tough. But what I knew was that if I wanted to be protected, I had to wait there in the shelter. It reminded me of how coming together in church, it's like that. Look what David said in Psalm 27. In times of trouble, he will shelter me. He will keep me safe in his temple and make me secure on a high rock. With shouts of joy, I will offer sacrifices in his temple. I will sing. I will praise the Lord. When you and I gather together, we not only experience protection from the Lord, but we're able to help others find that same protection in his presence. What's interesting is protection comes from waiting. But not only does protection come from waiting, there's an added benefit. Look what it says in Isaiah 40. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. There are times in my life when I look back that I was miles ahead of God. He had stopped and I didn't even notice, and I kept on barreling along in my own strength. When we seek first the kingdom of God, when we wait upon the Lord, wait and listen for his voice, become aware of his loving presence, that's when we rest. That's when we are renewed. Amen? You're doing great. Let's review. To embrace God's pleasure, I must plug into him, so I need to get connected. I need to observe him, so I need to be close to him. I need to wait before him so that I can be confident in his presence. And I need to experience him Fourthly, to be changed. Do you want to be changed by God? It's been my experience that we won't change unless we heard enough that we have to. How much of God do you want this morning? How open are you to allow God to reach inside your life and change you from the inside out? I came across this little statement, a little story, which is sad. But I think sometimes it reflects how we are. It's called $3 worth of God. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a warm cup of milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a foreigner or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want about a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I'd like to buy $5 worth of God, please. That's that. How do I know if I've experienced God when I come together with God's people? Don't miss this. It's not about you leaving feeling good. It's when you leave changed. Your attitude is transformed. You have a deeper love for God's people. You have a deeper commitment to honor God with your tithe and your talent. It's when you change, you know you've experienced God's presence. One question I want to ask you that you should think about at the end of every service is not, what did I learn? Because by the way, we know way too much compared to what we're obedient in. It's not about what knowledge. The greatest gap in our life is between knowing and doing. Here's the question I want you to understand and ask yourself at the end of every service is, how have I changed? You see, when you truly encounter God's presence, you are not the same. The psalmist David knew this. Look what it says in Psalm 27. We parked in this psalm a lot this morning. When you said, come worship me, I answered, I will come, Lord. Don't hide yourself from me. Teach me, Lord, what you want me to do, and lead me along a safe path, because I have many enemies. Keep on in your notes. Worship is not a place or the form. It is what happens inside us as we focus away from ourselves and onto God. It's coming to God for the drink. There was an old chorus that we used to sing all the time, and many of you Heritage members would remember this. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify him and worship him. Friends, worship is not about you. Worship is about him. That's the focus of our living. You see, when we don't believe that, we become disheartened and discouraged, and we settle for less, and we wonder why we're depressed and we're defeated, and we drift away. Because we got it wrong. Worship is about an audience of one, not about the type of music, not about the message, not about the children's story, not about how warm it is or how cold it is in here. Worship is all about, did I touch the hem of the garment of my God this morning, and do I leave differently? That's what worship is all about. Now, I ran across this the other day, and I thought this was a funny little takeaway. 12 reasons why Christians don't attend sporting events. You okay this morning? Let me read them to you. Number one, the coach never came to visit me. Number two, each time I went, they asked for money. Number three, the people sitting in my row didn't seem very friendly. I love number four. The seats were very hard. Number five, the referees made a decision that I didn't agree with. Number six, I was sitting with hypocrites. They only came to see what others were wearing. Number seven, some games went into overtime and I was late getting...